Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We are so excited to have you here. We are coming into the summer months. Yay! Summer vacation is just around the corner. And Marty and I are really, really excited about this topic. We're going to go with you on your summer vacation or take you on ours or something.
Let's go with them.
Let's go with them. Vacation. Are they going to go more fun places than we are?
Probably, because okay. I'm going to go to dog shows and
going to dog shows and dog shows and some seminars. So yes, they are definitely going to more fun places than we are. So Marty and I both make our livings, or as part of our livings, driving across the country. Many years in a row, I had 60,000 miles per year on my main show vehicle. I have traveled from East Coast to West Coast, from border to border, north to south. I have traveled most of the major interstates and many of the little squiggly back roads in our entire country. So I have lots of tips and suggestions for going on summer vacation with your buddy, with your friend, with your dog.
Your co-pilot.
My co-pilot. I have had dog is my co-pilot is literally going to be on my gravestone. And Marty has some amazing suggestions for how to do this safely and with good veterinary aforethought. So here we go. How you doing tonight, Marty?
I'm great. Thank you.
There's tornadoes in Wisconsin, but other than that, it's cool, yeah?
Yeah, there was a tornado that touched down and traveled this direction, but didn't get this far. It was on the ground for probably 10 or 12 miles. So we're talking, we're talking a tornado touchdown that traveled from one small town to another small town. So we're serious about our tornadoes here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin in May. Whoo, good times. I've been in Wisconsin in May. Not good times.
It's okay.
When the Wisconsin people say that the weather is too bad to drive home from the office and I'll have to record here, you know it's bad because these people are crazy. They'll drive at anything. If they say it's too bad, I promise you, stay home.
Yes, when there's a tornado on the ground or it's too much of a blizzard to drive. Yeah, it's pretty unusual for me not to drive. So,
it's a statement of fact, you know.
Yeah, but they said on the weather report that it's getting better, that the bad storms are over. So I'll be able to go home shortly. It'll be good.
As soon as we're done, you can go home and maybe you can still swim. You never know.
I don't know. It might be a little cold in the pool right now from the recent rain.
And hail. That would chill it off a little bit.
I don't know. Do you think there'll be little ice cubes floating around?
It might. You could swim with the ice cubes. It'd be like a polar bear plunge. That would be so amazing.
No, I'm good. I like warm water.
Okay. All right. We're off topic. So we're going to go on vacation. Dog is your co-pilot. And so there's a couple things that we think. Number one, we're going to link you back to episodes that we've done previously about traveling your dog in a crate. Super important. We're not going to bear down on that because we've done it before, but it's super important. Next up, we're going to talk about where you stay, right? So you have a lot of options. Are you in an RV or a trailer? Are you in a car and you're staying at hotels? Are you staying at friends' houses?
A tent?
No, I'm way too old for that noise, sister. There's probably people out there that can still sleep on the cold, hard ground, but this lady is not one of them.
My sister took her cats camping one time and the tent blew away with the cats in it. Yeah, stake it down, folks.
Oh my God. Okay, sorry. Yeah, you can travel with your cats too. There's a thing there, you know? Mm-hmm. Cat is my co-pilot is another option. So cat or dog as your co-pilot, whether you're a family of 12 or a family of you and your pet, there's some things that you should do. If you're traveling in an RV or like a fifth wheel trailer or just a bumper pull trailer or anything like that, there are wonderful campgrounds all across this country, sometimes little tiny county parks. I have stayed at some of my favorite camping spots in little teeny tiny county parks. There's books and guides and all kinds of things that you can buy that can help you find pet-friendly RV camping spaces. Another option, even if you're not in an RV or a trailer, is many of these places will have what they call cabins, like little cabins with beds so that you can roll up in your minivan or your station wagon or your, you know, little, I don't know, smart car and have a place to sleep and not have to sleep on the cold, hard ground. And those are often really great pet-friendly options.
And actually, last week I was talking to one of my employees who rides horseback, and she has a trailer and a truck that she travels with, and she finds a lot of horse places. Yes. So that might be another option for people with pets is if they're horse friendly, they'll probably be dog friendly as well. And there are websites that can help direct you to those things. Because, of course, books and those things can be out of date by the time you
They're make your arrangements. All online now. I used to have this little thing that was like this thick. Look, I'm putting my hand above the thing. I mean, it weighed 10 pounds, but it was like the coolest pre-internet guide to every pet-friendly campground in every state in North America. It was amazing. Yep. So now all of that's electronic and in the palm of your hand. So make use of those resources. Pet-friendly hotels, same thing. Always remember, pick up after your pet. Marty, it's your turn to talk about why we pick up after our pet, besides that it's so just gross.
Right. So travel with bags. You can buy the little rolls of the poop bags. Here in Wisconsin, we still get bags when we go to the grocery store and the Walmart and all those things. So I still can get those bags. So I use those because I don't like one-use bags. I like to have multiple-use bags. So I take those with me. You know those Kleenex boxes that you don't know what to do with when they're empty?
Oh, good.
I stuff those. Or the exam glove boxes, because I have lots of those. Christ. Not everybody has that many. I stuff those with my little plastic bags, and then it's like
a recycling at its finest, y'all. Just because we're not in our 20s doesn't mean we don't know how to do it.
That's right. And I'm very fussy that I don't want bags to be used once. I think they should have multiple lives. And once they've had poop in them, then that's their last
life. End of the life. Yes.
It pretty much is. But please be sure that you pick up after your pets, and it doesn't matter if you're at a hotel or at a campground or at a rest stop or at the gas station or wherever you happen to be, pick up. And if you see somebody else's poop that they didn't pick up, pick that up too. Just and I know it's not yours. I know it kind of gripes you a little bit that somebody else did that, but you are the conduit to make sure that the next people who come along are welcome there as well. Because if we're not careful with our dogs, and they may accuse your dog of leaving the mess that wasn't yours, but nevertheless, you don't want to be that person. So if somebody's walking their dog and doesn't have a poop bag and they need one, run over and hand them one. If you see somebody else's dog that's had a stool, pick it up, throw it away, in someplace appropriate. And be good stewards, because if we're not good stewards at the hotels and the gas stations and the rest stops and all those things, we're not going to be invited back as dog people. You're going to give a black eye to all the dog people in the world, and that's not appropriate.
There's another piece to this too, Marty, and I want you to go down that road. Sure. So leaving dog poopies behind isn't just icky. It has actual health risks for both people and other pets. Speak on that, if you would, please.
Right. There's parasites, there's bacteria, there's all kinds of stuff. It's not just stinky on your shoe. Yeah, it's worms and germs. And so just don't do those things. If you're staying at a hotel, get your dog in and out before they lift their leg on the side of the elevator. It's really just being polite and letting other people come along behind you and have access to the same wonderful facilities that you do. So be thoughtful about it. Be clean. You know, be nice if you're traveling with a dog that, like a little puppy, you have to stay as close to the door as you can, and you pick them up with a towel under them and you run to the door.
Done that more times than I would like to discuss.
Yep. So just be prepared for those eventualities. Take the spray bottle and the paper towels and the bags. At some point, you're going to need them. It's just really important that we do those things for the fellow dog travelers that are out there. So be thoughtful. Yeah.
The other pro tip from our years and years and years and years and years and miles and miles and miles and miles, there is a thing called an exercise pen.
Yes, X-Pen for short.
X-Pen for short. You can buy them anywhere in the world, online, most pet stores, anywhere you think you can find dog products, you will find something called an exercise pen. it will be appropriate height for your dog. So if you have a Great Dane, the 24-inch pen won't do you much good.
No, if they step over.
Chihuahua, the 48-inch pen is probably overkill. Probably. I'm just saying, it's Chihuahua. So look for that. Have a Chihuahua, I'm saying. And they can be pretty lightweight. They can be pretty fancy. Like if you want to take one to your sister-in-law's place and she's kind of bougie, they have ones that are made out of wood. And this gives your dog a safe, contained place in another person's home, in a hotel, in a rest area, in a campground, anywhere you might be, that you can't constantly keep your eyes on it. You can't let it run amok because that's rude and we don't do that. And you want it to give it some time out of the crate. So right. That's what the exercise pen is for.
Right. I just bought one that hasn't come yet, but I bought one that had a cover over it because I'm going to have little baby puppies and I don't want them to get bug bites and I don't want them to get in the sun and I don't want some big bird to fly over. So we're just going to have a little covered one so you can put it out there. And of course, you still need to keep an eye on them. It's not like you can just walk away for 2 hours at a time, but it gives you a chance to let them be off the leash, wander around, have some time. They also work really well in the house if you've got big, wide open doorways in somebody's home and you need to confine your dog to the kitchen or the family room or whatever. You can kind of zigzag them across, and so they're stable enough to not be round or hexagonal or octagonal, depending on how many sides it has, but you can use it as a gateway as well. So there's some really wonderful uses for them. They come plastic, they come metal, they're easy to keep clean, they fold up. They tuck into your car, they tuck into your house, they slide under the bed. They are amazing. So if you don't know,
I will tell you a pro tip. They're almost always the same size as your dog crate. So if you have a small dog, your 24-inch tall X-Pen will be the same width and length as the top of his dog crate. And that goes all the way up to the larger sizes. I know this because I packed vehicles to travel with dogs for a living.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really great to have those. So, you know, don't travel without one of those. And don't travel without extra leashes.
Yes.
Don't travel without tags on your dog.
Yes.
You can find some really fun tags. You can have them done for you on Etsy or at the store or whatever. And they can have not just your phone number on it, but they can have something that says, have your people call my people. So that if somebody finds your dog, they know that you're actually looking for them and that you're not just one of those random people who doesn't really care. They now, Buddy Badge, Revival also now makes a tag that has a QR code on it.
Nice.
And the QR code will scan. You can pull out your phone. So instead of needing to have a microchip, because this links to the microchip.
Yeah.
But instead of having to have a microchip scanner, you can take your phone, take a picture or scan the QR code. And it'll take you to the website where you can put your name, your phone number, your address, your pet's needs, if they have diabetes they need allergy medications or whatever.
This is tricky.
You can put all that. Yeah, you can put all that on the information. And then people can find out, oh, gosh, they just live down the street or they're visiting my sister down the street. And, oh, jeepers, they didn't know the dog got out of the fenced in yard or the front door got left open or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's a really great way to get your dog back to you before they end up at the shelter, before they end up with, you know, the neighbor keeping them because they didn't know it was your dog.
Or it's a wonderful. So it's called any of the terrible things that can happen.
Yeah. So it's called Buddy Badge and it's CID. Super cool. Yeah.
I don't use collars on my dogs just because I don't. I have issues. I don't know if I've told this story on this particular podcast. I have very dear friends who had dogs from me that had a couple young wire hair pointer puppies that had their collars on and they got their jaws stuck. And the one puppy wound up with a broken neck. So I have been real phobic about collars ever since.
Well, no dog wears a collar with anything on it other than those flat paper bands that we can put a name of an owner on. No dog wears a collar in my veterinary clinic. If I find that you put a dog in the run with a collar on, you will be fired. Before the day is over, you will be fired at my practice because, again, those things happen. But if you're traveling, you probably want some kind of identification. So this wouldn't be something that you'd leave them in the yard with. But if the front door gets left open and the dog takes off down the street, you've got a way to find them. And don't tell Apple, but AirTags have little dog cases on them. Don't tell Apple, but you can buy little cases for them on Amazon that are waterproof or that can hang on their collar. And that way, if your dog does wander off, you can track them with your phone. You just use the Find Me device on your phone. I'm sure those Apple people all know about the Find Me thing. with your little map, and it'll point right to the device. And I think Samsung makes a tile, which is square instead of round. But those are things that you can do if you're going to be in a place where the dog may not be as safe as you'd like them to be. So it's a good tip, but my dogs don't wear collars either, unless it's a very unusual circumstance.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I think this is something that's super important. And we're going to put a link in the show notes to a podcast I've done with somebody named Deborah Hamilton that talks about planning for this sort of thing. But have on your dog crate, attached to the dog crate that the dog is traveling in, there should be contact information for someone other than yourself who can take possession of the dog if there's an accident. And this is really, really important for your dog's safety, to keep your dog out of an animal shelter, to make sure your dog is treated if it's injured, all of those sorts of things. I know we're kind of in worst case scenario, but this is the kind of stuff that it pays to think about.
Right. So have your name on the crate, your phone number on the crate, and then the next contact person. You should have that at your home. You should have it on your crate. And Deborah Hamilton does a fabulous job of explaining this. She's going to have a workshop coming up. So pay attention, but it's Hamilton Law and Mediation if you're looking for her website. And you can go there and sign up for her class, sign up for her workshop, and then you can learn all the stuff about if you live alone, if you don't live alone, what you do, because it needs to be people besides who are just in your family because they might be with you or they might be taking care of you. And you want your dogs to get back to someone that is appropriate. It can be your co-owner, it can be your best friend, it can be whoever. There's a lot of choices. So I don't want to go into all the detail because that's going to take away from Deborah's job.
We'll put the link to the Pure Dog Talk podcast with Deborah in the show notes, because she really goes through the whole thing and it's outstanding and it's really critical information for you guys to have. So you're going to take good care of your dog. It's going to travel safely in a crate. You're going to be respectful when you go to your friend's home or the hotel or the campground. What are your, Marty, 5 must-have items on a trip?
The first thing is where you're going. You should know where the emergency veterinary clinics are.
Mm, good.
So if you know your destination or you know the route you're taking, look up to see where there are emergency clinics and how you can get a hold of them so you have their contact information, a rough idea of where they are. So if something does happen, you've got that. So don't forget to kind of plan ahead for those, because you'd never want the eventuality to happen, but it does. So you need to take your dog's food and a bottle of your dog's water, you know, like a gallon size, not like a little 8-ounce bottle, so that they don't have a water change. So take those, make sure you remember to take the bowls, because we've all been known to forget.
Buckets and bowls, very important.
Yep, for sure. I like to travel with Lixit bottles because they can sit in the crate and they don't spill. Laura uses buckets, but she must drive better than my husband.
Clips, so, you know, I got big dogs, she's got little dogs.
You must drive like my husband.
No, I hate that. Oh, man, that constant tap in the brakes. I would lose my ever-loving mind. Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So there you go. So,
love you, Dr. Dan, but that's a hard no for me.
So don't forget to take your pet's medication, extra doses of your medication, in case you end up somewhere for a longer period of time than you expected. And don't forget to check where you're going to see what kind of care you need to provide. So if you're going someplace where the mosquitoes are worse than you're used to, or the heartworm is worse than you're used to, or Lyme disease or whatever, that you've got your dogs on their heartworm preventives, their flea and tick medications, and they should be on it prior to the time you leave, plus 30 days after, 30 days or longer after you get home, so that you get full protection. So look ahead. I mean, you can go to the capsivet.org website and look up by zip code where you are and how much Lyme disease, anaplasmosis, Ehrlichia, parvo, influenza, mosquitoes. You can look all that stuff up so that you know what to prepare for. Because, you know, if you're going to the beach, if you're going to the northwards of Wisconsin, we have ticks, we have mosquitoes, we have stuff. I bought those hats with the mosquito netting on them when we went to Africa. Never took them out of the bag. Went to my kid's house last weekend for Mother's
Day. Whipped it right out, didn't you?
I had them on and I still got a bite on the back of my neck and my husband had two ticks. So I go to my kid's house, I have to wear my Africa gear.
Right.
Because they live in the North Woods of Wisconsin where the black flies
in the
nets.
Why I don't go to the North Woods of Wisconsin, just throwing that into the ether.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. So, you know, look at ahead of where you're going, what the weather's going to be like. You might need sunscreen. Yes, they make sunscreen for pets. Mm-hmm. You might need little footies if you're going to be walking on the beach and their feet are tender and they're not going to handle the sand very well. If it's going to be hot, you need to be careful that they don't walk on the asphalt for too long. Take an extra leash, take an extra collar. I have all those slip leads that have the veterinary clinic name on them. Like we have 200 of them in the car, along with the 200 poop bags.
Always like, kennel leads, always extra buckets, always extra bowls. Bowls, buckets, leashes, poop bags, chew bones. My car, I could die tomorrow and you would find all of those things in my car today. And I haven't been showing a dog for someone else in a long time.
Yeah, but they're so handy to have. And I've always got extra leashes with me because invariably I'm driving home from work and there's some dog running on the road and I stop and I put the leash on and I figure out who they are. I'm that person that has to, because I can't just drive past a dog and let it continue to run. I have to figure out who they are, get them home, all this
catch
stuff.
The dog.
So yeah, put them in the extra crate because I always have an extra crate in my car. I have one of those canvas
crates. We're those people, you guys, just in case anybody had any doubt about this, we're those people.
Yeah, I have not only the crates that I regularly travel with in my car, which are secure and safe, and I can lock them so that I can leave the pets in and have the doors open, but I have a canvas crate that you can fold flat, and it rides on top of the crate. And I have been known to need that extra crate because I find myself in situations where there's another dog. So.
You know what? Okay, so I have to tell you this story because you guys out there in listener land and Marty will truly appreciate it. At one point in my misbegotten past, I was married to a man in Nebraska who was a bit of a skinflint, and I needed a new dog van. And so he went to the auction and bought me a dog catcher van. I'm not kidding. I'm so not kidding. I've never told you this story. Look, I just blew up Marty's
mind.
Yes, he did. Yes. Yes, he did. And so it had built-in crates. And it had drains and, you know, it was a dog catcher van.
I'm jealous.
It actually, hard for me to even say these words out of my pretty little mouth, but it actually was kind of handy. It had three little dog crates and two big dog crates. And it was very secure, safest dog crates you've ever seen in your life. It was insulated, you know, whatever. There was great. It was cool. In fact, it was so cool that long after I left the situation, and Krista drove it with me out here to Oregon. And it finally, the van itself bit the dust, but I had somebody cut out the crate banks because I thought I might be able to use them someday. So who's the skin flint now, girl?
What are you going to say? So make sure you travel with your first aid kit. Take all your stuff, take your bandaging material. Now, don't forget, you want to take your Gas-X in case the dog has the tendency to have a bloat. And they now make Gas-X that are little films that you put on your tongue, like the Listerine breath
mints. I love that.
So have those with you and just be prepared for all the stuff because you just don't need to have anything.
You just don't know. It's important. So when I was handling, I had an entire box. It was a tub, like a giant tub. Tupperware tub. It was the drug box. And that was, everything was in there. I had a small veterinary clinic in that drug box. You don't need that much, but you need to have a little bag that has all your stuff when you're traveling. Okay. Yep. So the next thing, are you going on a long road trip, sort of a weekend getaway? You know, these sort of things matter, you know, how you're handling your pet. Long road trips can be a little bit of a challenge for everybody. It's very important that you and the dog and the vehicle stop all at the same time. So let me tell you, if you're trying to get to a place in a time frame, I know how to do this. I can help you. You drive whatever number of miles your vehicle has available on its tank of fuel or electricity. You drive those miles. Then you stop and you refill the vehicle and empty the pets and the humans. And then if the pets and the humans need to be fed and watered, you do that at the same time. One stop. Do all the things in one stop. Then you drive the number of miles and hours that you have available on your vehicle, and you do it again. And I promise you, Scout's Honor, my hand to God, you will get where you're going faster, easier, and with much less sturm and drang than if you stop every 30 seconds. I mean, if the kid's got to pee, the kid's got to pee. But I'm saying, this is definitely the most essential way to travel. I've done it with 10 and 12 dogs at a time by myself. Mm-hmm. So I promise you, you can do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I walk two dogs at a time. Dan walks one, but, you know, we all have our thing. But yeah, it works pretty well.
X-Pens help. If you've got an X-Pen, you can throw the dog in the X-Pen and have somebody watch the dog in the X-Pen while you run in the bathroom in the gas station, and then you switch and you pick up your soda or your snacks or whatever. And it helps if there's two people.
Yeah.
Trust me, when there's not two people, it takes a little longer, but it's still manageable.
It can be done. Yep. And then, of course, if you have dogs that have a tendency to have anxiety when they travel, make sure you get them on their anti-anxiety medications in advance. You should not take anything to make yourself drowsy, but your dog should have their anti-anxiety meds. So don't let them drive if they're taking their drugs.
No, you should be the driver. You don't take your anti-anxiety meds until you get there.
Yes, because we don't want you drowsy. And don't use Benadryl, because that's not anti-anxiety. Don't use CBD. That's not going to help. You need to talk to your veterinary clinic, get the anti-anxiety meds, practice before you go, so you know how much you need to give and how often you have to give it. And you should give a dose the night before you leave and a dose the morning that you leave. And there's great drugs that really help with this. There's gabapentin, and there's trazodone, and there's Xanax, alprazolam. There's some really good drugs for this. Maybe Cilio, if your dog responds well to Cilio. So have those all tested out before you go.
I've had good results with Cilio.
Have you?
Yeah, I have actually. Show dogs. I've had really good results with them on the anxiety question.
I'm still a little unconvinced, but if you've had good outcomes, that's great. Mm-hmm. And then if you have a dog that gets car sick, and the question is, are they sick or are they anxious?
I'm telling you, I have to tell the story. I was headed for the car sick, but we have to have the story first.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
So
Chevy Chase and National Lampoon's Summer Vacation, the movie, and they drag the dog behind the car. Okay, don't do that. But that was sort of what my childhood was like. And there was like six dogs and two kids and my mom. And my dad was going to meet us at the campground. This was back in the days where we tent camped. And it was a really big deal in my family. So cool. If you got to be big enough that you could have your own tarp lean-to.
You graduated, huh?
Yes. And you didn't have to sleep in the family tent that was literally an army surplus canvas tent that weighed approximately 500 pounds.
And I bet it smelled just like
just like an army surplus canvas tent that weighed 500 pounds and probably was dispersed in World War II. So when you got to be big enough to have your own tarp lean-to, you were so cool. And you could take your dog and put him in the bottom of your sleeping bag, and he was just like the best. So we're heading out, and I was probably figure like 13-ish, maybe 12. I'd just gotten my first English setter puppy. So excited. We're driving. We weren't even out of town. Mom, pull over. What? Mom, she's going to throw up. Mom, pull over. Mom. Well, you're just going to have to catch it. With what? I don't know. Your hands. Okay. So I was scarred for life by an English setter puppy puking in my hands, my cupped hands in the back of the Suburban or possibly the International. I don't remember which. And yeah, now we move on to car sickness. Save your child this trauma.
Yes.
Do not scar your child for life. I promise, listen to what Marty has to say on car sickness.
So a little bit of car sickness, they might be okay with anti-anxiety meds. They might be okay with ginger snaps. I use a lot of ginger snaps or granulated ginger if you can get them to take it. So plan ahead. get your dog used to driving in the car so you know how long it's going to be, that the medications need to work for, all that stuff. But if your dog still has a problem with nausea, Serenia is an amazing drug. They actually have a whole ad campaign called Ralph. It's a little green dog. You can only imagine why green. So Ralph, because poor Ralph looks green, because just before he Ralphs, he's, you know, green. It's made by Zoetis. At the regular dose, it's 2 mg/kg. At the car sickness dose, it's 8 mg/kg. It's a big whomping dose.
Crazy. Big dose.
It's a big dose, but it lasts 24 hours and it can really make your travel much better. So it's hard to tell sometimes if the dog is nauseous and they're anxious because of the nausea, or if they're nauseous because they're anxious. I don't know which comes first, the chicken or the egg, but you can use Ralph's drug, Serenia, along with the anti-anxiety drugs. They're safe to use together. So again, plan ahead and have all that stuff ready to go. And if you do have a dog that you think might get car sick, then have the paper towels, have the spray bottle, have the plastic bag to clean
up. Extra bedding.
Yep.
The number times I have pulled over to the side of the road in the middle of BFE, cleaning dog crates, standing on my head with dogs tethered to the side of the motorhome. Yeah. Let's just, yeah, have all that stuff.
It's unpleasant. Yeah. So just be ready. And if the dogs can see out the side windows through their crates, sometimes that can be distracting to them. So covering the crate, not so much that you decrease the ventilation, because they do better if it's a little cooler where they are, they're less likely to get nauseous. But if you have dogs that are motion sick, having the sides of the crate so that they can't see the stuff going past them can be helpful. And some of us have dogs that think they should herd the trucks that are going down the road. So, you know, you may have a dog that doesn't have anxiety and doesn't have nausea, but you can't stand the barking because they're in charge of every semi that drives past you. You know, you get those Shelties and they're...
those are not my dogs.
No, mine, not mine either. I don't put up with that. But there are dogs that do that. So you may need to sedate them just so that they aren't yapping at every vehicle that goes past you. So again, just be aware that with some planning ahead, you can have things that can go much better.
Much
so pack
more
your first aid kit.
Keep your,
pack your stuff.
Migraine under control. The kids are screaming. Your husband's yelling at you. Don't let the dog add extra stress to your summer vacation.
It's
supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Go have fun. You know, plan for this stuff. Have a good time.
Yes. You know, go swim in the creek. Go to the beach. Do all the things. Have a good time. Eat an ice cream cone with your dog. Like, do the stuff.
But yeah, let them lick the other side of it. It's pretty fun to share the ice cream cone.
You know, get them their own pup cup, whatever. I'm just saying. Having our best friends with us when we go on vacation is cool. But if you do it with a little bit of planning, it lowers everyone's anxiety. And you won't have to up your anxiety meds, and it'll be cool.
You don't want to sleep through your whole vacation?
No. Nobody wants to be, what was her name, face down in the chicken salad? Like, that's a no.
I don't know who that is.
It was one of the movies. It's gone. I can see it, but that's about it. Since I haven't watched a movie since, like, I don't know, 1990, it's probably old.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it's a thing. All right. Summer vacation with your dog or cat. Most of this applies to the cat, too, just FYI.
Yeah, except you have to take a litter box.
Yeah. Put the litter box in the crate with the cat.
And my cat would use the litter box while we were driving. So yes, it works really well. The cats do fine with that. And again, gabapentin works really great for cats.
Okay.
The night before and the morning of the travel, they're like in a little la-la land. It's awesome. They're not complaining. They're not car sick. They're not.
Let's the animal experience everything in this happy glow.
Yeah. Gabapentin is your cat's best friend.
Yeah. Better living through pharmaceuticals is a thing, y'all.
For sure.
For sure. All right, Marty, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you.
Everybody out there, have fun on your summer vacation. We're jealous. We don't get one. Peace, yo. Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means. And what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog, and we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week.
We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.